Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 2709 Rock Springs Road in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker. For information and service times, visit www.ksgc.church. And now, Gabe Stoniker.
We are going to be in the Psalms today. Psalm 61 will be the particular psalm that we are in. And I love the Psalms. I believe God's people, all of God's people especially love the Psalms. They are so relatable. They're so comforting. You can truly enter into what David and the different men who wrote the Psalms were feeling. And in Psalm 61, David is praying a prayer in this psalm. And you can tell that he's very urgent about it, very urgent. He's very desperate in this moment. And he's in a place of great need, and that's something that I can enter into, and I'm sure you can too. In verse 1, he said, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer." Hear my cry and attend unto my prayer. My cry, my prayer. While you're hearing the cry and the prayers of other sinners in need, he said, "Lord, hear me too. Please don't forget about me." I'm sure you've heard the song, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." Another song says, even me, let thy blessing fall on me. Hear me, hear me. Blind Bartimaeus cried, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Me, Lord, while you're having mercy, please don't forget about me. Verse 1, David said, "Hear my cry, O God, and attend unto my prayer." Would you please hear my desperate cry and attend unto my great urgent need, my great need, because you're my only hope. David is crying out to his only hope, and that's what all of God's people do. They cry out saying, "Lord, you're all I have. You're the only hope I have." Verse 2, he said, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. There are going to be many times in a believer's life, a true believer, there will be many times when he or she becomes overwhelmed. And every time what he or she needs is Christ. Every single time, lead me back to Christ. I need Christ. That's what we need. We need Jesus Christ. When God initially deals with a man or a woman, he puts that person in a place that will lead that person only to Christ. When God is purposed to save a person, meaning to open blind eyes and to give life to a heart, he puts that person in a place that will only lead that person to Christ. He leads his people to Christ, and that is an overwhelming place. It's an all-consuming place. It is a humbling place. Man must come down from his own high horse if he's going to be led to the high and holy God who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is an awakening place. It's an urgent place. Once that sinner is caused to see that he has no other cry but this, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That's the place God's people are brought to, where they see that the rock is higher than they are. There is an initial moment when God reveals the rock that is high to one of His children. And then God continues to reveal that rock to that child the rest of his or her days on this earth. And when He does, something happens every single time. When God reveals the rock, something happens every time. The first time that revelation comes, and every time thereafter, something happens, and it's this right here. Fear, belief, and comfort. That happens every single time a sinner sees the rock. Fear, belief, and comfort. All right, I want to show that to you. From the Scripture, I want to show that to you. Let's start with this right here. The rock is Christ. The rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He is the rock." Christ is the rock. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 22, it says in 2 Samuel 22 verse 1, "David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul." He was so happy. Deliverance had come. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in Him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge." Who's he talking about? He said, "I'm talking about my Savior." That's what he said in 2 Samuel 22, verse 3. "I'm talking about my Savior. Thou savest me from violence." My Savior. Who is my Savior? Jesus Christ, my rock. He's my Savior. Somebody will say, "Well, no, this is the Old Testament. That's not speaking of Christ. That's speaking of God." Well, that's who God is. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the rock. Jesus Christ is the eternal God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, every testament there is. It's Jesus Christ. I read this to you often, but I'm going to read it again. Luke 24, verse 26, it says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses," and that's where we just were in Deuteronomy. I had you listen to Deuteronomy. That's Moses. He said, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets." We were just there in 2 Samuel. He's one of the prophets. "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scripture the things concerning Himself." Christ Himself. John 5, our Lord here is condemning the religious Pharisees. He's condemning the Pharisees. And in John chapter 5, verse 39, He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." He's saying, but you don't, because you're missing me. That's what he's telling them right here. You're not seeing the truth concerning me. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. He said, I receive not honor from men. They think that I'm just God's middleman. And people do. They think Jesus Christ is just God's middleman. Just God's son. Just his helpless, pitiful son. Verse 40, he said, you will not come to me that you might receive life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. They said, oh, we love God. He constantly told them, God is standing right in front of you, and you don't love me. You have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, he said, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. That's what Jesus Christ said. He wrote of me. Moses was writing about me. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, the Lord is condemning the religious Jews here. He was constantly condemning and condemning for ignorance concerning his word and ignorance in the scripture. And he said in John 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. They kept speaking of Abraham. Abraham's our father. He said, well, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before he was, I am. He said, when God dealt with Abraham, all of those dealings that God had with Abraham, Christ said, that was me. That was me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat when Moses led them out in the wilderness. They all ate the same spiritual meat, verse 4 says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. In the Old Testament, all of that account of the wilderness, Moses leading the children of Israel, everything that happened, he said, that was Christ. That was Christ. That was Jesus Christ. If a sinner ever truly sees Christ, that sinner is going to see the rock. To see Christ is to see the rock of God, the judgment of God, the holiness of God. When God came down on Mount Sinai, you remember the story of when he gave his law and he told Moses to go up and God came down and that whole mountain exploded with fire. The whole mountain was on fire. That was Christ who came down. It says when he comes back, he's coming back in flaming fire. The rock descended on that rock. To truly see Christ is not to see gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It's to see a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Matthew 21, listen to what Matthew 21 says. This is Matthew 21, verse 42. Our Lord, right here again, is condemning the religious Jews. You know, these who believe they have a righteousness of their own. They're, as some people worded, goody two shoes, better than you. That was the religious Jews. But they rejected Christ for who he was. They were looking to themselves and they were not looking to Him. They did not acknowledge Him and they did not honor Him for who He was. And in Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, "Did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone for mercy," whoever falls on this stone for mercy, "God, rock of God, be merciful to me. Whoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken." Broken from pride, broken from sin, broken from arrogance, self-righteousness. But He said, "On whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." It will grind him to powder. And verse 46 right here says, it made them very mad hearing that. They sought to lay hands on Him. They wanted to kill Him for saying that. Now, when this truth is declared to men and women, who Christ truly is, and His sovereign power over all things, His eternal power, His eternal sovereignty, especially over man, especially over the salvation of man, the outcome of man, and when they see His sovereign right to do what He wants to do with whoever He wants to do it, everything is truly in His hands. And His declaration of judgment on all who are not made to bow because of sin, when that declaration is heard, one of two things happens. When people hear this, one of two things happens. Either men and women get mad and they reject it, or they get scared and they bow. And I'm going to tell us this, every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow, either now or later. Mercy is in bowing right now. Judgment is in bowing later, being made to bow in the day of judgment. Salvation is evidenced when men and women are caused to bow right now. Oh, may that be us. Mercy comes to sinners when they are made to realize right now, this rock is higher than I. That's a very merciful place to be brought to. When our view of Him goes from just being Jesus, you know, men talk about Jesus. Well, Jesus said this, and Jesus said that, and Jesus did this. When our view goes from just Jesus to the Christ, that's a merciful place to be brought to. When it goes from our equal, me and Jesus have a good thing going, we're going to work together and make this happen. When it goes from being our equal to our God, Jesus Christ, our God, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. When that happens, mercy has come. Mercy has come. Fearing this stone falling on us is what will make us fall on this stone. That fear is what will make us fall for mercy. A sinner will not fall for mercy until he or she is made to fall for mercy. That's why Psalm 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Have you ever heard that verse of Scripture? Have we been made to see how true it is? The fear of the Lord God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the beginning of wisdom. That fear is what makes a sinner fall for mercy. Lord, I need mercy. You need mercy. We need mercy. We are sinners against Him, whether we realize it or not, whether we want to admit it or not. We are sinners who need mercy. Psalm 36, verse 1 says, "The transgression of the wicked is this right here. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's a great transgression. When a sinner is truly led to Christ, the first thing that comes in seeing Him as He is fear. Fear. A sinner will see this rock is higher than I. So much higher than I. and it'll strike fear. Strikes fear in me. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing is, when a sinner sees Christ as he is, the second thing that comes is faith. The first thing is fear, and the second thing is faith. A sinner will be convinced this rock is higher than I. A sinner hears that the rock is higher, and then a sinner believes this rock is higher than I. When a sinner truly sees Christ and is truly led to Christ, that sinner will see whose hand salvation is truly in and whose hands power and might truly belongs to and whose hand sovereignty is truly in. And that sinner will see the author and the finisher. And that sinner will finally realize, I can't, only He can. I see Him as He is. I see me as I am. And I realize I can't, only He can. I am not, only He is. If He doesn't do it, it's not going to be done. That's the place I have been brought to. I pray that's the place we have been brought to. If He does not do it, it's not going to be done. He is all, I am nothing. It takes the power of God and the Spirit of God Almighty to reveal that to a person and to cause that person to believe it, truly believe it. He is all, I am nothing. He is all, I'm nothing. This rock truly is higher than I, truly. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 1 to you. 2 Timothy 1. Verse 8, it says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now listen to verse 9. It says, "Who hath saved us and called us." And do you hear how both of those are past tense? "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." What a verse of Scripture that is. When did our salvation take place? Before the world again. Let me read verse 9 again. "Who hath saved us, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." It's revealed to us through His coming. "Who hath abolished death." That's what He did on the cross of Calvary. That's what He accomplished. "And hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The preaching of the gospel. Verse 11, Paul said, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." And here's the reason why. He said, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." What Paul said was, "My rock is higher than me. I believe and I'm persuaded that it is all in His hands, and He has done it and He will do it. Everything that needs to be done, it's in His hands." With the fear of realizing who He is will come the faith of believing on who He is. And that faith will cry, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give all the glory. You're the rock, and the rock is higher than I." With every child of God, everyone, this is so, every child of God, once that belief sets in, comfort sets in. Once that belief sets in, comfort sets in. That's the third thing that happens. Once a sinner realizes that this God is my God, and my God has saved me, and even though I was just as rebellious and just as ignorant of Him as every other soul on this earth, even though there was no difference in me from anybody else, God chose to have mercy on me. You say, how do you know that? Paul said, I know that because He put this fear in me, and He put faith in me, and He showed me that He authored it, and He finished my salvation in His own blood on the cross. He caused me to believe it. In that, He said, I'm now redeemed in the blood. And I believe it. I'm washed in the blood according to His word, and I believe it, made clean in the blood. And I can now, in Him, approach His throne boldly. I'm not an enemy anymore, according to His word. I believe it. I'm a member of the family. How amazing. I can come to my Lord and my Savior anytime I have a need, anytime I need help, relief, assurance, comfort. Once that is settled in the heart of a child of God, that child will cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock. I need Him. I want to be with Him. I must have Him. I must have Him. He is altogether lovely to me. It happens that way every time. Every time. Fear, this rock is higher than I. Belief, this rock is higher than I. Comfort, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Just look at the stories. You read the stories of Abraham, Moses, Job, David, Isaiah, Saul of Tarsus. You remember his story on the road to Damascus? That's my story. I pray your story. If God leads us to Christ, it'll be fear, belief, and comfort. Lord, lead us to the rock that is higher than I.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can call or write to the number and address on your screen or visit www.ksgc.church. Tune in at this same time next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.